Hi, I'm Kara Lawrence. This is WMUK's Let's Hear It, Music of the Moment in West Michigan, and we have a special in-studio concert for you tonight. Stick around for the Grand Rapids, Kalamazoo-based Celtic World Music Ensemble, Andro. I'd like to start off by welcoming Jim Spalink.
Hello.
Michelle Venegas, Carolyn Keeble.
Hello.
And Fred Wilson.
Hi.
Thank you all for coming in.
Sure.
Fred, maybe I'll start with you and Jim. Andro has been around for many years now, but I understand your connection with Jim goes back even further.
Well, it does. Jim and I have been playing music in different groups off and on for years, but about 6 years ago, we started developing a duo arrangement we called Archive Duo, and we played a combination of classical guitar music, harp, Celtic and harp music, and a little bit of jazz exploration thrown in. So we did a lot of messing around with that, and that was great. We had a great time with it, a lot of Renaissance and just a wide range of different styles, but we kind of realized the limitations of what you can kind of accomplish as a duo. So we ran into Michelle Venegas, and she agreed to join us for some performances, and we realized that this threesome had more potential than the duo. It needed a life of its own. So that was the kind of the beginnings of Andro. And then maybe about a year later, Carolyn Keeble became available, and so we teamed up as a foursome and have been kind of doing this ever since.
So it started off as a very strings-driven ensemble that played pretty much anything that you fancied at the time.
Exactly, yeah. But we've narrowed our focus to some degree, but I don't want to say that. I think we broadened our focus in some ways, too. Andro is looking at Celtic music in a very global sort of way.
Jim, you also write music, a lot of tunes mm-hmm. now under your belt, and a little later in the session we'll be listening to some of them. Do you find this a creative outlet for what you want to do?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I didn't write much before, and I started writing, and Fred and Michelle, as they kept playing them, I kept writing them, and that's kind of what they still enable me, and as long as they play them, I'll keep writing them, because it's really fun to hear your music through someone else's sensibilities, and that's how the music is really not. I'm reticent to say that I write it, because I write the basic tunes, but we all are very much invested in the development of the tune and the parts and the harmonies and the structure of the music itself. So it's more our stuff.
I get that. Michelle, I know that you come from a more traditional Irish background. You're playing some really great Irish fiddle with groups like Fonmore in the past. And what did this group allow you to do and to change as you developed as a musician?
Well, we started playing like I think Fred was talking about. We're exploring more Celtic cultures, so it enabled me to kind of get out of that and purely Irish.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
There's not, but it opened it up, and I learned a lot more about other cultures and just different styles of playing, and it's helped me to develop really more my own style than playing, say, Scottish or Irish. I'm really playing more of a style of my own personal way.
Sometimes when you're playing, I feel like you're singing through the violin. You do a lot of a very minute voicing, even in one note. You know, I can hear it happening, and it's very special.
Thank you.
And finally, Carolyn, this group has allowed you to explore new things in what ways?
Well, I would say, you know, one of the great things about this group is that it's incredibly acoustic, so there's a lot of space and there's a lot of opportunity for me to play softer textured percussion. A lot of hand percussion is, of course, what I love. And one of the great challenges in being a percussionist with a band, per se, is the more electric things that exist and the more amplifiers that are surrounding you, the less that style of playing really translates and communicates. A lot of the detail gets lost and really drowned out by the louder sounds around it. So this group has really let me get back to a lot of things that I had kind of put on the back burner, a lot more Middle Eastern techniques, a lot more frame drumming, South Indian Kanjira style textures, and things that just absolutely don't work in a really dense musical environment. They just
couldn't make them fit, so you just made the musical choice not to do it. But here you have that chance.
Yeah, it's been really quite a lot of fun.
Well, we're going to stop for some music now. This is a set that requires some unusual instruments, especially from Jim. So why don't you describe what the instrument is you're holding?
This is it's called a hurdy-gurdy. People don't hear a lot about them other than the Donovan song, which incidentally doesn't have a hurdy-gurdy in it, the hurdy-gurdy man. There's one or an equivalent of one in many cultures throughout the world, or some kind of variation of it. In the Nordic, in the Russian, we kind of came about it through the Breton tradition, which is very, very Celtic and very French. And it lends itself well because of the drones and because it resembles bagpipes. It's very much a folk instrument, and it lends itself well to Celtic music in general.
If you didn't have the hurdy-gurdy for the rest of you guys, would you be missing that sound on these songs? Do you depend on that beautiful drone?
It provides a kind of texture that nothing like nothing else. Wow. It's kind of like a medieval synthesizer in a way.
We all have a love-hate relationship with that contraption, actually. It's very cantankerous.
I've heard it's difficult to keep in tune. You have to readjust it a lot.
Constantly. It really squeals quite a lot.
Yeah, it was...
It's fun to show our audience that instrument. It's really fascinating to a lot of people. In fact, the last time we played, this guy said, "Is it supposed to sound like that?" You know, he had no idea what was going on. So it's I would miss it if it weren't there.
And Fred, you've got your guitar. Carolyn, you have your various percussion instruments amassed.
Sure. This tune actually is just, it's got a certain kind of tribal quality to it. So this one is mostly a djembe tune. I always try and approach each tune and find a unique kind of percussion voice for it. So a lot of the hurdy-gurdy material always just seems like it needs the djembe, because often Jim's doing more of a melodic content, and then Fred takes over the rhythm, so the acoustic guitar and percussion can kind of support the rhythmic framework of the tune that way.
A lot of musical detail in this group. Oh. All right, let's listen to Hurdy Gurdy Girls with Andro.
Thank you.
It's Andro, live at WMUK in the Yoshimi Takeda Performance Studio, with Michelle Venegas, fiddle, Carolyn Keeble, percussion, Fred Wilson, guitar, and Jim Spaulding playing the hurdy-gurdy. Jim, tell me a little more about this set you call Hurdy-Gurdy Girls.
This piece kind of represents the hodgepodge of stuff that we do and the influences that we have, because it's kind of from all over the place. The first one in the piece is a very recognizable old Irish tune, She Moved Through the Fair. After that is the actual Hurdy-Gurdy Girls, which is an original of ours. And what's interesting about that is Hurdy-Gurdy Girls actually were saloon girls back in the 1840s. And they would play the hurdy-gurdies in the streets to lure the guys into the saloons. So they actually made it illegal to assemble, to listen to maintain, or to perform a hurdy-gurdy in public. And there are parts of New Jersey and California where those laws are still on the books. They thought that they could eliminate the hookers and the hurdy-gurdies, but it didn't work out so well in either case.
You can take away the hurdy-gurdy, but...
that's right.
So Jim thought they deserved a tune
that's
in
right.
their honor.
So we wrote Hurdy-Gurdy Girls for them. Then after that, Michelle plays an Andro on the fiddle with Carolyn on the djembe. Then we do a couple of French tunes. They're French dance tunes that actually we don't even remember the name. We've been playing them so long. So, you know, it's very much a, like this music has always been, it's such an oral tradition, and, you know, you probably have that as well, where you hear a tune and you know the tune, like you recognize someone's face, but you don't know the name of it anymore. It's just lost in there, but you know the tune well. And it's like it's one of those kind of tunes.
The way you arrange the music you play, I know it kind of comes together organically in different ways every time. In this set especially, I have to admire the way the power tends to build. It's partly through the drone sort of pushing things along, but there's so many different tunes coming in and out. Maybe this is kind of silly, but the comment I wrote down was, do any of you feel like you're bringing back to life this music from centuries past in the act of doing it?
Absolutely. That's the greatest thing about Celtic music, from my perspective, is I like being a cog in a wheel that goes back 1,000 years, because this music, it's only recently that we've had the concept of, you know, rock stars, or because we have mass media, we know the people that are the best at this music. But most of the historical stuff are just nobodies like us, just people that go to the pub and have a few pints and write some tunes and play them and teach them to their children and their grandchildren. And it's more of an honor, I think, to be a part of that anonymous line of people through history that contribute to that greater thing.
But I think you're also doing something new at the same time. You're not sort of dusting off old pieces. It's transformed.
It's very hard not to do something new. Jim always says, once you heard Jimi Hendrix, you can't go back. You can't undo that. The music that you grow up with, the music that we become aware of, and this is. There's never been a better age to be exposed to huge varieties of music.
You know, for me though, this tradition, the Celtic tradition, is something that is totally not my. That's not where I come from. So all of that is very new for me. And
why do you like it?
That is a really good question. I have no answer for that. I feel it. It's like soul music for me. I don't know why I like it. And I've always, I feel it very strongly and have always enjoyed it, even before I actually knew what it was. So back when I was in high school and listening to certain bands, they were from Ireland and Scotland. And I didn't really identify that as Celtic, but I loved it. And there's always been a part of that I very much identified with. And it just moves me. It's soul music for me.
All right, that leads us right up to this next set of tunes you're going to play. You call the Galician Jigs. Why Galician?
The set of tunes is called Galician Set, and it starts out actually with a waltz that comes from Galicia. And Galicia is a part of Spain that's a Celtic region, kind of a little enclave of Celtic culture. When the Romans pushed the Celts back and took over Europe, there were like these little places that were hard to get to and where the culture still lived and existed. Ireland and Scotland are the most obvious ones, but in Spain, there's this area called Galicia. They have their own Gaelic language and their own culture and music. And then there's an area in France, in Brittany, that has a similar kind of thing. So we wanted a collection of tunes that kind of reflected that culture. So the waltz is a waltz from that area. Kind of goes into a set of jigs, which had a kind of a strange metamorphosis. These are jigs that I learned from a bagpipe player. And he gave me sheet music for them, and I read them incorrectly. I read them in a minor mode as opposed to a kind of a major mode, which is the way the bagpipes play them. And you know, I like them better that way. And so that's the way we're playing these jigs. So it's maybe an example of how traditional music gets changed over the course of time.
All right, once again, it's Andro here at WMUK's Yoshimi Takeda Performance Studio.
Thank you.
here in WMUK's Takeda Performance Studio. That is Andro live at WMUK with a fantastic set of Galician music, a waltz and a jig that really builds onto something in a, what I can say is a typical Andro crescendo that really pushes along rhythm and dancing for your crowds. Mm-hmm. Here in the studio, for those who've just joined us, are Jim Spalink, Michelle Venegas, Fred Wilson, and Carolyn Keeble. Carolyn, would you tell me about this next event, the Michigan Global Roots Music Festival that's coming up?
Sure. This is actually something, you know, that we've been talking about for quite a while, and then started talking to some of our, you know, some of our peers and our colleagues around the area who are doing music that you would say is, you know, kind of akin to what we're doing. It's based in a world folk music tradition, and in some cases, in fact, it's largely instrumental music, which is one of the things that people tend to notice after listening to Andro for 20-30 minutes is that we haven't sung a song yet. And that's sometimes confusing, I think, to listeners, is, well, where are the songs? And we said the songs are, well, they're the music. The music is the song. You know, there's something so incredibly open and freeing about an instrumental tune that allows for me, you know, to do many things creatively on the one hand, and also, I think, allows the listener to have their own story and their own experience of it, which is not always the case when there's a lyrical context to the piece of music. And so what we've found, and one of the things that, you know, I think that Michelle and I, and I mean, Fred and Jim as well, but we work a lot with kids' music and early childhood education, and we really feed off this energy of children responding to the pureness of melody and rhythm. And so we've been talking for a while now, you know, what can we do to make this more accessible? We play at 9 or 10 at night. These kids, they're all asleep. So we wanted to develop an opportunity, you know, to do family-friendly music programming. And we thought, well, what fun if we could include a few other groups from the area who, like I said, are doing something, you know, along the lines of what we're doing. So we put together kind of a small consortium of bands, and it includes Andro doing kind of our Celtic world thing, a great band out of Lansing, Wissal, led by Igor, an incredible Lebanese-American oud player, and then some collaborators out of Grand Rapids, and we started talking to Cabildo, who's doing mostly South American Chilean music, and also Barinya, which is one of the West African groups there, and then one of my other longtime projects, Dunya, drum and dance here in town. So we've concocted this assembly of bands that all overlap in common, you know, music and spirit, and put together an event here for Saturday, March 1st from 11 a.m. instead of p.m., check this out, 11 a.m. to about 2 in the afternoon, really hoping, you know, families and kids will come and just really have a chance to be interactive and up close and personal with this music.
Say the details once more. Where will this be again?
Well, it's a 3-day event. We're doing Friday night at the Avenue in Lansing, and then Saturday during the day is our Kalamazoo kind of homecoming event with Dunya, as well as Wissal and with Andro, with music and dance. So we really are tapping into some of the local traditional dance styles that go along with the music, from 11 to 2, Saturday, March 1st at the Old Dog downtown on Kalamazoo Ave. And then Sunday up in Grand Rapids in the afternoon as well.
And this is posted at your website, andromusic.com. Well, do you feel like playing another tune for us here?
I think so.
Sure.
Let's do it. Thank you.
Wow, that's Andro here live at WMUK in our Yoshimi Takeda Performance Studio on WMUK's Let's Hear It. Andro is James Spalink on bouzouki and hurdy-gurdy, Michelle Venegas fiddle, Carolyn Keeble on percussion, and Fred Wilson on mandolin and guitar. That set was the duty-free real set, James?
Yes.
This is one this is an original, right?
Yes, it is. We a lot of our, well, all of the titles of our music is kind of, because we don't have lyrics, but we kind of resembles. I have a couple of friends who both of them know just a lot of jokes, so in the interest of time, when they get together, they play punchlines, and they don't say the joke, they just say the punchline, and then they laugh. And it's sort of like the titles to our tunes are goofy, and they make us laugh because it makes us think of situations we've been in, or places, or people, and it's sort of like our diary, I guess. And this one, I guess, a couple of years ago, we had a couple of gigs in Canada. We had just gotten back over the bridge. We were going to go to where we were staying on stateside, and we wanted some Baileys. So we saw these big posters about, you know, all this. In fact, Bailey's is on the poster. Oh, let's go there.
Delicious Bailey's.
Duty-free shop.
Yeah, it was a duty-free shop. So we pulled in there to get them, and then soon realized that in doing so, we were right back in Canada.
Wrong way.
And we were just on the other side of the fence from our hotel room, but...
But there were those nasty tire spikes between us and our destination.
Actually, Carolyn got out of the van and she went and she sweet-talked the guard and he opened the gate and he let us out. So we actually joked that we were kind of like in this country illegally, I guess. But we that was a tune that we'd been working on, sort of fleshing out. So in our motel room, we decided that's what we should call it, and that's kind of where we developed it.
The duty-free reel. We had your Baileys and drank it too.
Hey, yeah, it was my birthday, though. Baileys.
Yeah, that's right. It was.
Yeah. I bet there's a lot of stories like that in this group. One of my favorite sets is called Macative Patches.
Macative Patches, we were, in fact, it was at Wheatland that we wrote that, and we were in the musicians' campground wandering around listening to all the great music. It's every other trailer or tent has some really cool jam going on. But anyway, it was really late, and we needed some matches. And somebody said, we should have grabbed a Macket of Patches back at the gas station. Anyway, that's a lot of the song. That's how sometimes the title comes first, and then we write a song because it's a cool title.
It takes you right back to your Wheatland festivals and your road trips and all of that good stuff. Well, I think we're nearing the end of our time together today, but I hope that you have another tune up your sleeve. I heard a rumor that you might play one of my other favorites called Whiskey and Tuna. But before we do that, I'd like to give everybody an opportunity to have final thoughts on Andro and what's coming up in the future. Fred.
Well, I can talk about what's coming up in the future. I think our St. Patrick's Day tour, as soon as we do the Global Roots Music Festival, we're going to be appearing actually that weekend at the Dogwood Center in Fremont. We're doing a pre St. Patrick's Day show there. And then I got to make sure I get the sequence right for St. Patrick's Day. Friday night, we'll be at the Rockford Brewing Company in Rockford, Michigan. Saturday, we're taking a little road trip up to Petoskey to do a show at the Perry Hotel in Petoskey. We're kind of excited about that. Let's see, then we're coming back Sunday. We're going to be at Salt of the Earth in Fenville for a concert. If you've never been to a show at the Salt of the Earth in Fenville, it's a wonderful place to hear music. They program terrific stuff there. And then let's see, that brings us up to actually the day, Monday. We're going to storm down to South Bend, Indiana and play lunchtime at the Fiddler's Hearth. And then we're racing back to Holland, Michigan to play at the Kuro Restaurant and the New Holland Brewing Company.
So where that, won't you be on St. Pat's weekend?
In bed.
Exactly, in bed. We are on the road that weekend for sure.
Now, Michelle, I hope it's not giving too much away to say that you've recently had your second child, and you're still making music with Andro. And
yeah.
Does that speak to the family spirit here in the band?
Oh, absolutely. These guys are, we're each other's chosen family, and we get on like family. And that's
in all the ways that family gets on.
But it very much is. Yeah, it's a family kind of affair.
I always say that Michelle is my sister from about May through November, and people easily believe it. You know, it's really
they think that we're sisters. People think we're sisters.
Yeah, we have the same kind of spirit for the music, you know. And I think that combined just with the good time we have playing together makes it seem like we must have always been hanging out, you know.
Well, I'll leave the final word to Jim and tell us about Whiskey and Tuna.
Okay. Actually, that's two tunes. The first tune is called Mon Chapeau Rouge, which means my red hat. A friend of mine made a red hat for me out of a pattern of a 16th century, like the French voyageurs used to wear coming here. And I wear that skiing, and I guess I was pretty exuberant about the hat, so I wrote the tune in a sort of a French-Canadian style. And after the one after that is the Whiskey and Tuna set. And as Michelle said earlier, she had an uncle who was an itinerant musician. I was struck by something that he said, that there were words of wisdom to a traveling musician. He said, as long as you have whiskey and tuna in your suitcase, you'll be all right.
Okay. Thank you all for being here at WMUK, and all the best for this silly season coming up.
Indeed. Thanks very much, Kara.
Two original tunes by Andros Jim Spalink, Mon Chapeau Rouge and Whiskey and Tuna. That was Andro live at WMUK in the Takeda studio. The members are Jim Spalink, Michelle Venegas, Carolyn Keeble, and Fred Wilson. You can find out more on Andro's website, andromusic.com.